Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
All right, so back for another one of Trump's The Art of the Deal. We're in Chapter 2, Elements of the Deal, section Maximize Your Options. Trump says, I also protect myself by being flexible. I never get too attached to one deal or to one approach. For starters, I keep a lot of balls in the air because most deals fall out, no matter how promising they seem at first. In addition, once I've made a deal, I always come up with at least a half dozen approaches to making it work, because anything can happen, even to the best laid out plans. Here, Trump suggests to basically develop a pipeline for all the projects, all the deals, all the ambitions you have, to plant multiple seeds and let them flourish, knowing that not all of them will perhaps see the light of day, and that's why you shouldn't get too hung up on a single option. Trump is going to list a few examples in his real estate career. For example, if I hadn't gotten the approvals I wanted for Trump Tower, I could always have built an office tower and done just fine. If I'd been turned down for licensing in Atlantic City, I could have sold the site I'd assembled to another casino operator at a good profit. Perhaps the best example I can give is the first deal I made in Manhattan. I got an option to purchase the Penn Central Rail Yards at West 34th Street. My original proposal was to build middle-income housing on the site, with government financing. Unfortunately, the city began to have financial problems, and money for public housing suddenly dried up. I didn't spend a lot of time feeling sorry for myself. Instead, I switched to my second option and began promoting the site as ideal for a convention center. It took 2 years of pushing and promoting, but ultimately the city did designate my site for the convention center, and that's where it was built. Of course, if they hadn't chosen my site, I would have come up with a third approach. Here, we've seen there were multiple options, both for Trump Tower, the site of his landmark residential tower that has retail in it, right, on Fifth Avenue. But we also get the glimpse of a very interesting building that became the Jacob Javits Convention Center. Right, so this second example that Trump cited, right, that he wanted to build affordable housing projects there, but government money dried up and he had to switch the plan and it became a convention center. This is, ladies and gentlemen, the very place where Hillary Clinton had staged in 2016 her glass ceiling speech, right? The convention center is made with a lot of glass. And it's very, very significant to understand that the venue where Hillary Clinton, the 2016 hopeful, gathered with her supporters was a venue created and built and thought by Donald Trump. This is a man who was delegitimized by the media, by so-called experts, by Hillary Clinton herself. And we see that where their supposed celebration takes place is in a building that Trump imagined, created decades earlier. And this is kind of to suggest how much in advance Trump was in everything he did. and how much of a cultural and business influence he had decades ago already. It's no surprise that Hillary Clinton was a guest with her husband at Trump's wedding. So they were buddies, as Trump says, when he was donating to the Democrats, and that was never an issue. But of course, when he wanted to step up for leadership, they turned against him. And on that note, we know that Oprah Winfrey asked very seriously of Trump if he considered running for office in the early 90s after he met with Ronald Reagan. And he said he might. So she was very serious about it. And even a decade later, around 2000, she thanked Trump for showing up at one of her shows and wrote him a thank you note saying they should run for office together and that she would be his VP, as if that's not a stamp of approval. And finally, two decades later, around 2018, on the David Rubenstein show hosted on Bloomberg, Oprah Winfrey is asked if she would think of running for president. And she answers, "I never thought about it, but now that I saw that Trump made it, I'm like, oh, all right." So she's acting like she's surprised that he ever won or that he even considered running, that it wasn't a natural fit for the office, which is completely false, as we know, because she felt it was a natural fit in the early 90s and the early 2000s. All right. It's just, unfortunately, a large segment of the population that Trump supported in his early days. We know from various speeches that Trump was an early backer of Chuck Schumer, and he said it publicly at one of the charity dinners before the 2024 election. He said it publicly right next to him that he was the first supporter. And unfortunately, that's how things have played out. But here, the lesson, I digress. The lesson here is maximize your options, right? Whether it's a career choice, whether it's just a choice of what skills to get, you want to have the broadest, before specializing, really aim wide, try to have a lot of different possibilities in your future. Maybe don't go all in a single deal, single client. You want to have multiple options, pretty much. And this is also, we've seen it earlier when Trump wanted to have certain permits before going ahead making capital commitments, right? And that's the previous episode we did when we saw that Hilton had another approach and it ended up having to fire sale their assets because they had no license to operate in Atlantic City. So do things sequentially, think ahead, try to plant seeds that will open options for you. And this is another element of the deal, is to maximize your options. And maybe a final note on this, you'll notice that Trump will not commit, whether it's to a journalist question or to another stakeholder's questions, he will not, when he doesn't have a certain answer, he will not give a certain answer. It seems quite natural with many other politicians or other, let's say, professionals in the business or political spheres, or you know, so-called experts, they have no qualms about saying some things for certain when it's just to be absolutely not true. He is vague when the subject matter is vague. So he doesn't rule out options because he knows that he does not know the future. And he's wise enough to acknowledge that that things can take many different paths, and depending on which path happens to be taken, there could be a different set of reactions or appropriate measures. And this just echoes that philosophy of maximizing your options. So hope you learned something with this one, and thanks for listening.